Welcome to What's Left, a weekly political discussion challenging the mainstream left. I'm Eduardo Barca with Andy Lipson and Kenny Cepeda. On today's show, we will be discussing maybe some climate action policies, but mostly centering our subject around will be around the COP25 or the United Nations Climate Conference that happens every year. And this is the 25th one that is happening in Madrid, Spain. And it was supposed to happen in Chile, in Santiago, Chile, but because we'll get into the reasons why it got moved, but we will be discussing, is it worth it? Does it matter? And what action is being taken around climate change? And we'll be a discussion of three, see where our positions lie here. So, Andy.
And why is Kenny here?
Well, because Kenny has to contribute.
I thought he was a Latin American correspondent.
Apparently, yeah, they want to put me in a box. But, I refuse.
Exactly. I should mention, too, that this is also the very last episode I will be doing of this year. This year. I will come back next year. I'm gone from to Spain and France.
Next week, it may just be me and Kenny. Mm-hmm. So Kenny may feature more regularly on our What's Left.
Yeah, I'd like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So. Talk pay.
Yeah, but you had actually said that when you heard we were talking about COP25, you would express interest in being involved in this episode.
More than anything about the whole topic of climate change, and you know, what does socialism have to say about this? Really digging in and see what's really happening under all this, and what are the expectations or possibilities out of has already happened for the last 25 years.
Yeah,
you know,
longer,
more than 30 years for yeah. sure. Since the scientists have known, more than 30 years for
Yeah.
Since Exxon, that's where really they did their own scientific research on climate change.
But I think that these conferences started, I think, in 1992.
Yeah, yeah. I interrupted you.
No,
go ahead.
No, so I mean, I don't know. Question: what's happening? Mm. What's happening in the world?
And what would we? It'll be. I'm not sure exactly what the activists are asking for, yeah. But I think what do we make of the solutions that are on offer? What would our solutions be? I think those are the things that I
think
about.
So we'll be discussing the actors behind the climate change movement, right?
And possibly.
Yeah. Okay.
So what's COP25? Maybe.
COP25 is the shorthand for the United Nations Climate Change Conference, and it happens every year, and every country hosts it, but the one in Paris, that one was the most pivotal one of all of the conferences, because countries really had to, I think it was a second or third of that conference, and they really had to sit down and negotiate what they were going to do. Every country was going to do to reduce their carbon emissions, or to go as possible down the meter of zero carbon emissions, because climate change is widely, at least for this conference, I'm not going to speak about if there are alternatives, but climate change is largely understood as being mostly from carbon dioxide, a greenhouse effect that is happening, or as the infamous global warming it was called at one point by Al Gore.
Right, specifically due to human carbon production.
Yeah.
And I assume these are the most powerful countries coming to the table?
Yes.
Economically?
But also the smallest countries, except in the beginning, I think it was few, like Nicaragua, chose to opt out. And then there were, before I go on. Yeah.
And the only other thing, I mean, the big claim to fame for what they've accomplished so far was, I think, what was called the Kyoto Protocol.
Yes, that was the other one,
right.
too.
And which was really a system of a cap-and-trade system of carbon emission reduction through a market-based system.
Market solution to a problem.
Like a carbon tax.
No, not a carbon tax.
It's like
carbon tax is not a...
You could trade the right to pollute, basically. Right. You know, you had certain companies, I think, had a certain amount of pollution that they could sell in a market or trade with another company. So basically just selling the right to pollute.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the idea was that it would push, and then countries that were under-polluting, which would tend to be the developing countries in the south, they were saying, oh, this is going to spur incentive for investment in those countries, because then for them to develop in a cleaner way than the West has done. I'm just beginning here, but effectively what it has meant is a scheme by which the West, one, uses a market method to solve a problem created by the market, and call that a solution. And secondly, it has actually meant that that those countries which could benefit from developing, whether they would develop through coal or what have you, the developing countries are somewhat encouraged to resist such development, instead essentially just try to draw in money from the Western countries for whatever plans allow them to offset the extra carbon that they're doing here in the West. Now that's only for the countries that agree to it, and that's just Europe. And Europe agreed to it, but only 50% of their industries actually even fall subject to it. And so this other idea of like offsets, which is if I overpollute, then I can invest in somebody who's underpolluting, or sell my pollution to somebody who's underpolluting, give them money. And there's just all sorts of fraud that's potential in this.
And do you know if there were any like penalties, or what was the process of holding people accountable to meeting those, you know, quotas? If they, do you know? I don't know.
I was confused, and it was something else earlier, and I apologize. So I don't remember this. I do remember there was a Kyoto project, but protocol. But I don't remember all of the details.
Yeah, right? And so, because one of the things,
I cannot speak to the penalization.
One of the things that people who were critical of the cap and trade method was, well, let's go do a straight carbon tax. Mm-hmm. And that has not been agreed to by any country. Mm-hmm. And in fact, as I understand it, the whole notion of market, of turning this into a market scheme, market plan for solving it, does come from Al Gore and the dude from Enron, were some of the initial creators of this idea of how do we incentivize market growth by with using a green label. Mm-hmm. And I mean... I don't believe it can possibly work, and I believe it's fraudulent. So the U.S. won't participate in it because they're not going to be held to it. But really, no one's held to it because
it's voluntary.
And that's sort of my opinion about these, you know, COP25, these meetings where they come with resolutions, you know, verbal agreements to, you know, do something and expect governments to, you know, get behind it. But there is no real accountability. There is no real, you know, binding, you know, structures. They just really pledge, we'll do our best and, you know, hope for the best. Mm-hmm. You know, they meet and then they parade a bunch of, like, interests in solving this issue. But ultimately, to me, it's just a show. Nothing real can come out of that, and I think that they also perpetuate certain lies about climate change. And you know, for example, one thing that gets omitted greatly from the debate about climate change, and I bet you I haven't paid attention, to be honest, much to the COP25.
It hasn't really been reported on.
No, yeah. But
well, if you listen to Democracy Now, maybe you would.
I'm sure. Like, but I don't hear it.
Maybe you should look here.
For example, one thing that gets omitted from the conversation about climate change is that the U.S. military is one of the biggest polluters in the world. Mm-hmm. This machinery, I read some stuff, pollutes more than 140 countries combined. Mm. I mean, so, you know, if we are really serious about eliminating climate change, we have to stop this machinery, mm-hmm. which is one branch of capitalism. And so, yeah, I don't know if you have any thoughts.
Yeah, I want to be very clear. I want to make sure we have an agreement where we understand that there is destruction and the crisis on our planet? Is it something that I'm curious about both of you?
I think capitalism will destroy the planet.
Yes.
Do I think it will destroy the planet by raising the temperature due to human carbon production? That ain't the way that I'm seeing it go down. I think the environmental destruction that will happen is through nuclear war, through the kinds of things Kenny's talking about. Mm-hmm. I personally believe that just looking at carbon as the singular thing by which we understand the destruction of the environment is very narrow, lets the capitalists off the hook, and allows them to use these cap and trade schemes to turn carbon into a derivative that can be sold on the market, and put greening under capitalism. Because I actually think the way capitalism destroys the environment is much more diverse and varied, and I think it's caused environmental activists to see everything narrowly through the lens of just carbon up or carbon down, which I do not think actually puts a real picture of the nature of the destruction of the planet due to the environment, making the planet not unlivable for humans, at least. And first, obviously, the poorest are going to face the most narrowly through the lens of just of the amount of carbon that the U.S. is pumping into the, or the these companies are pumping into the environment.
I mean, that's I think one thing that we might like differ a little. I don't know. You know, obviously, war is a constant threat, especially as we are moving to a more nationalistic world again, and like capitalists fighting each other and coming to a halt. And obviously, nature or the resources will put some pressures, or add new resources to fight for, rather than just petroleum. The obvious one is water. Mm-hmm. I mean, the U.S. has military bases like in Paraguay on top of aquifers. Mm. You know, the Bush family, right before they left office, they bought like 300,000 acres of land over an aquifer in Paraguay, and there is a military base right next to it. Mm-hmm. And there's also big reserves of gas, down there. So, obviously our government and or the people, the ruling class, they understand, they think years ahead, they plan 10, 20, 30 years ahead. And that's why, you see the Bush preparing for that, or the U.S. military, having a presence. And again, the biggest reserves of water, aquifers in the world, in South America. And so that would definitely put a pressure. It might lead to nuclear war. But I do think that, climate change is something to keep an eye, because I mean, if war doesn't destroy us, that would definitely come. And I happen to think that we are lied to all the time about this. We see constant news that revising projections, and it's because there's a consensus created, I think, in academia, that the people that are too radical, too scary, give real numbers, they don't want that, because obviously there's a lot of money involved in this. And so we are lied to all the time by our government, obviously. I think this is another aspect where we're being lied to. For one way the climate change is talked about is that it's changing like at a constant rate instead of an exponential compounding, issues that, I think just like a recession, we can't see it, until 3 quarters after when it's official. But we felt it for 3 quarters. Mm-hmm. This might be one of those things too, that we are seeing shit happening, in Australia and Brazil, Greenland, in places that we don't see.
You're in California with the fires.
Sure, but even like places, like a lot of the climate change that I think I read, is happening in the fringes of societies, like in Greenland, in Antarctica, glaciers melting, and then the ice cap, getting smaller and protecting, us less from the sun and absorbing more heat, and it's this thing that is compounding. I don't know. I think, in this, also our government, obviously, they have an investment or an interest in burying this news. Last year, 2018, for Thanksgiving, Black Friday, a government agency, I don't know which, released a report that showed a very, horrible picture of the future of the economy in the U.S. and just in the U.S. But I mean, it got buried on Black Friday because no one's really paying attention. And so yeah, that's my concern. Like I do see conflict. It can rise at any moment. But that is coming, and that's something that our generation and those behind us will be settled with if we don't destroy it by nuclear war. And so But I don't know. I can go on, but you know, if you want,
I think the causes of climate change, the conversations around climate, the causes of climate change are shifting. And you said something I want to just address. You said that it's narrowing, or the lens of just through carbon dioxide, right? It's this carbon effect that is happening.
Mm-hmm.
The conversations are definitely shifting now, and I'm hearing it from all of the sources that I listen, that are people on the ground, they're talking to people. It is about agriculture, right? Because it's the number one polluter in this planet. It is
industrial.
Yes, and there it's about the military. It's about our consumption use. It is about the way that we are treating the land and just a development that is happening, right? And overpopulation. And that one is a challenging one, because when we talk about overpopulation, I don't mean that this world cannot hold all of us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean that there are concentrated areas where people are being neglected, and then they don't have the resources. And richer countries take a lot of the resources from the smaller developing countries, and then you have them scarced, no? And so I'm not advocating, by the way, to saying that we shouldn't have any more children. But I just want to be clear, because I know that there are climate change activists out there that
right.
are starting to push back against that overpopulation myth about how much our planet can hold.
The same
back
thing,
in
yeah.
the early 2000s and 90s.
The population
right.
bomb was
right.
made, was talked about in the late 60s,
yep.
and was a racist,
so,
you know, kind of left
right. so
racist.
That's why I want to be
yeah.
clear, and clear on this episode about that. So I am. So this is what I. What so you, what you're alluding to, Andy, is something that is now slowly changing. That it isn't so much about the carbon now. It's about so many things, including nuclear war, that can, excuse me, that can affect our planet, like what happened in Chernobyl, right, with radiation.
Yeah.
So I think that climate activists are now very aware that it's more than just one thing.
Yeah.
I think that was more the narrative that the global warming activists had. So I think this climate change movement are coming in waves.
Sure.
And this the very first wave back in the 60s were about like animals and plants and wildlife, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the other wave that is coming, which is about just the greenhouse effect. And now this new wave, which is about a lot of things that we're doing as a society are actually destroying the planet, because as I'm seeing more and more, people are saying of capitalism, globalization, because of the market that is happening to extract resources from one place and then deliver it to other people that are more wealthy. And I think that is now more of the conversation today. So that when you ask, like, what are they demanding or what is going on, it's shifting now. It is shifting now.
Do you think people
are looking at as the causes for climate change. That are people aren't even changing the word now. It's, it used to be global warming, climate change, and now global disaster or catastrophe. I mean, I'm not sure about those terminology, but it just even the crisis, just in general, that we are in a crisis, that you hear this reverberation of this word crisis, is now the new wave.
I happen to kind of lean on this on your side a little. In
about
the,
what?
The narrow scope of environmentalists or just people in general, like that have different fights, like, you know, they see these isolated things as, you know, oh, we are environmentalists, but, you know, and then, like, I only worry about immigrants, but as if these things are not connected, you know.
But I think that's the reason what I'm saying is that the people are seeing that things are interconnected now.
Well,
things are now at a, what you call, intersectional now, that they see that people are, like, I was just listening to a report today that women are being sold off as brides at an early age because of climate change.
Yeah.
There is immigration that is happening because of climate change. There
but,
is so I think these things are not being ignored anymore as it used to be.
But that's what I see as a problem. I think that we are just focusing on climate change when the real monster here is capitalism. Capitalism has created this and that and that, and then we're not having these conversations in these forums, you know, world forums, where, you know, people dance around the subject and not saying capitalism is the problem. You know, and then the only then debate becomes, can we reform it or can we abolish it?
I think it's birthing of it, because Naomi Klein talks about the capitalism, actually, and she's a big environmentalist. So I think, and she is one of the most prominent figures in the climate change movement as an environmentalist. So again, I think that it's shifting, and we're seeing the beginnings of it. And someone that is attuned to some, like, these news outlets that are happening on the ground right now, like what's happening at the COP25 right now, where people are actually overwhelming the conference and taking over platforms, literally taking over mics and shutting down places and shutting down the rallies where indigenous people are shutting down rallies, even liberal rallies. And so I think, again, it's shifting. It is shifting. And I want to give credit to that movement.
For example, like, I've attended some fundraisers here where the Sunrise Movement, you know, it's like the most radical, one of the most radical groups, supposedly. That basically they came up with the Green New Deal and Ocasio-Cortez hijacked it. But even then, that is, like, listening to them, I was turned off right away because, you know, they were pushing for the democratic debate to include talks about or the topic of climate change, and they were thrown out. And yet at these fundraisers, they were bashing the Republicans, but they were bringing this up, but still getting behind the Democrats as if Obama wasn't, you know, part of the process of making the U.S. the biggest oil producer, you know, which last year the U.S. became, you know. And so then what are we talking about? This partisan BS.
Right. I understand. And I think the justification, I'm not justifying, but I'm only explaining. I want to be clear, because then later on, I had got good feedback from you when we did an episode. It sounded like I came off a certain way. So I want to be really recalcando algo. I want to really clarify, make sure I have a position. I'm not justifying the Sunrise. I don't go for just Sunrise or 350.org, or I don't support any of the leading climate change organizations. I simply am explaining something. And I will explain this. At least the Democrats, this is their justification. The Democrats are the only ones that are trying to do something. I'm not saying that it's enough. I'm not saying I agree with it. Let me finish. So they are the only ones acknowledging the science, right? The Republicans, the vast majority of Republicans do not acknowledge the science.
Sure.
The vast majority of Republicans do not want to do any policy around it, whether it be reducing or carbon tax or anything like that. And the only ones speaking about that are the Democrats. This is the reason why the Democrats are, and they could be using it to their political advantage.
Are.
Yes, they are. I'm not saying, though, that I'm in agreement. I'm simply saying that they're the only ones, AOC is the only one that is backing a Green New Deal,
right.
At least a Green New Deal.
Right.
And the Republicans, you don't have diddly squat for that.
Right. But that you are basically saying that the Democrats, maybe it's weak tea, but you're saying the Democrats are at least trying to do something.
But there's tea.
No, but
I'm
saying,
say weak tea, there's tea. And there isn't any tea for Republicans.
They're both pouring poison into the environment.
They're both.
They're both guilty of it.
Yeah.
And the Green New Deal is going to actually, like, it's done.
Can you mention a Republican that is at least wanting to say something about climate change?
It doesn't matter.
Can you mention a few Republicans? I'm just curious.
I don't think, it doesn't matter to me. Why does it matter?
You can't mention one,
no,
right?
I don't
it doesn't come up.
Because it doesn't matter. Because
you have
both
a few other Democrats that can,
so,
right?
Yes.
So that's what I'm saying. That is the difference.
But there's no difference
between
in terms of the people.
Yeah.
Both, whether they acknowledge it or not.
I'm not a Democrat myself,
of course,
but
you
will
are.
Say you can say that, but I'm just telling you that I'm only saying that at least they acknowledge it and the science is acknowledged, whereas people like Trump on the Republican side call it a hoax.
But it, okay,
I mean that is the difference.
It's no difference because both
you don't see a difference between someone backing
not when both of them are completely dedicated to destroying
they
the environment.
They are band-aid policies.
They're not band-aid policies.
But
I didn't call
way,
you're
I,
calling them band-aids.
I'm calling them band-aids.
I'm calling them destruction of the environment. Do you understand that?
They can.
That's
they
what,
are,
no, they're not.
They are. No,
they
I
did,
know because there's still operating
that's what's
under
happening
capitalism,
in South Korea.
And that's where we do agree. That is where we do
we don't
agree. But we
agree. You think the Green New Deal offers somewhat of a solution or a band-aid? You call it a band-aid. I'm calling it a plan for destroying the environment.
I agree with you that capitalism is the source of this. Yes, I did. And we had this episode and we discussed it, where there is no solution and outside of within capitalism to solve this climate crisis. What I will say, though, the difference is that they will acknowledge
so
it. And that's the only thing I will say.
Where is the value there? That's what I'm curious about. Where is the value of acknowledging?
The value, I'll state it. I've stated that before. The value is here, where if you have protected lands, like we do here in California, he knows my already argument.
Mm-hmm.
If we have protected lands here in California, at least until we have una revolución que pueda, that can happen here, at least these are temporarily being taken care of. If we at least vote for some of the policies to protect certain, hold on, certain lands, then these lands will at least not be destroyed. And do you know how long it takes for redwoods to grow?
Sure, but
redwoods take a very long time. And only the Democrats so far have taken care of it. Well, so far, I'm not saying that Republicans have, because I will give credit to Teddy Roosevelt.
And Richard Nixon, but I'm saying,
and yes, he did create it. But I'm saying, those, even those, I will give them credit to, at least because they did it. They did it. Our lands were protected minimally and not destroyed completely. And had those policies not been in place, they would have been destroying them completely. Yes?
But no.
Yes, okay, they would have.
They're doing them anyway.
They are, but at a slower pace, and there's obstacles. Well, there are obstacles to it.
Go ahead.
So, I mean, what good is it?
I knew this was going to happen, so I brought my tea.
The problem is that there are no obstacles in your vision, because your vision says that our enemy, which is... the Democrats are our enemy on this question. No. They're the capitalists. Offer us some small salve. There's a problem for Naomi Klein. Naomi Klein tells these nations to go to there, and she says, "You must do something, nations. You must come together and figure out what this is, a calamity that affects us all." But that in itself is a myth, because that's not how capitalism operates. It's a competitive system that pits all these countries against one another. To ask them to go to these conferences and come up with a solution is like...
They're not the solution. I agree with that. Well, they are not the solution.
And that's the Democrats and Republicans. All of them are not the solution. And so one of the major problems is that people believe that there are partial solutions to this problem, and there are no partial solutions to be found. Mm-hmm. Capitalism has to be gotten rid of completely, and you have to understand that the major party of capitalism right now is actually, right now, probably more the Democratic Party than the Republican Party. They're the one pushing for war with Russia. They're the ones pushing for war with Syria.
I understand.
They're
definitely not any angels. But
no,
if
it's
I
not
can
angels.
Have,
no, they're enemies.
Yeah, you're right. And I will say this, though. This is where I feel sometimes this is, and I'm curious where Kenny stands with this, but I sometimes feel, Andy, that you want to go to this extremity where if we don't at least hold back some of the destruction on our sacred lands and from building dams, from destroying our beautiful natural forests like in Brazil or here in California, if we don't at least have some buffer and I feel like I am part of that resistance until you get your revolutionaries together and topple down the system so that these places... But if we don't have it during this time, then they will be destroyed. And they will not be there for us when we do have... when we finally can have a revolution, which I am for. When it comes, I will hop on it. But for now, I feel like there are a lot of us, that like myself, that are trying to hold back... So the cutting as we're slowly being pushed back. Yes.
Right. And you're propping up the Democratic Party doing it, but go ahead.
So that's where I see a fallacy, thinking that, you know, we will have these lands, you know, they will be there, this water will be there, these trees will be there, but while they're at the same time extracting all this oil, right, and burning it, you know, and using the military machinery to burn that, you know. Like 40% of our, you know, the oil we consume in these countries is for the military, you know. So
why can't we be for the same cause? That's the thing. Why can't we just vote for protect this for however many years and join also this other cause?
That will keep kicking the can down the road.
Yep.
You know, ultimately for me, the solution is
like there is.
We have to reconquer political power, the working class. Mm-hmm. You know, because we are living in a corporate dictatorship. You know, our states, we live in capitalist states. They serve these corporations. They save profit. They save money. So, you know, can you trust them that they will actually make things that is not just to give you a candy because we're crying? So we have to get on or we won't. You know, we have to get on and push, you know, and push for that. You know, for me, it's about adaptation at this point. It's not even about saving it. You know, it's adaptation, and the biggest adaptation we can do is a new economic system.
And I agree with that. It's just like saying, both of you seem like you're both saying, and I hope our listeners and viewers actually take to this, and they comment about these two here. But it's like, why can't we do both is what I'm curious about.
Sure.
Why can't we?
Sure.
Oh, so sure.
No, this is what I'm saying. Doing both is reconquering political power. Because how can you trust that, you know, that the government is going to apply things that are beneficial for nature and for us. Any government, you know, really.
And that the record is clear. You can't do both.
Obama didn't. Sorry to interrupt, but yeah. Obama, where was Obama protecting, you know, or that administration protecting our environment when they became the biggest oil producer in the country?
I wouldn't say Obama was protecting, but he certainly was not dismantling policies that were endangering our, for example, Alaska, where there was specific areas that weren't supposed to be drilled. Those policies were maintained under the Obama administration, which I know he is not perfect, but those were, as soon as Trump got in office, pipelines.
No, but that's a mistake. So this was a process that started with Obama and continued with Trump.
The policies specifically to Alaska, and I remember this, were in place.
No, sure, I get that.
In place to not drill.
But the overall result was that we became...
And that is a Democrat.
Sure.
And those are Democrats that are constantly, like, know that they'll be...
But guess what? We're not going to have ice anymore because we started drilling somewhere else. Because, you know, they didn't
like the
do
BP
it officially.
Spill,
sure.
I understand. Like, you know, that happened in the Gulf of Mexico.
Then the proof shows that they're not for the environment. They pay lip service to this. The Green New Deal is a capitalist solution to this.
Which
it's a market solution,
but
basically.
Going, yeah, I understand that.
So
it's
a pipe dream, you know, and even then, like...
But you have a player here, Republican players, who decide, well, let's just destroy everything.
The Democrats want to destroy everything as long as they get rich doing it.
The Democrats don't destroy everything.
Yes, they do. They make more war than the Republicans do.
You're always talking about war. Why don't you talk about... I'd like to hear something about the
then
national
I can look
parks.
At, then healthcare.
How about you speak about the national parks? Are they destroying the national parks?
Yes, they're destroying the national
parks.
Like
which ones? You
because
want to say?
Bill Clinton and Al Gore, when he wanted to reconstruct the U.S. government and said and made it less... when he was redefining the U.S. government... He made all these jobs, like he liquidated a bunch of jobs that were part of the government regulating a lot of these areas, whether it was the environment, whether it was taxes, all that kind of stuff. That under Clinton and Gore.
There is the pipeline XL that all Republicans are for building. And there are Democrats as well. I'm simply saying that all of the presidential candidates have said that they would try, very much try. I hate the word try because it doesn't mean anything to
me. It doesn't
me.
Mean anything. They're not trying.
But the Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren have said that they would not approve of the pipeline XL. You see? Of any more construction of the pipeline.
Can they commit to decrease the military? Can they commit to stop
Bernie
drilling?
Sanders has said that. Yes, he has. Yeah. To decrease. I'm simply saying that the conversation is being had, and you can debate these things, and you can fight them about it, than you can with Republicans who don't care.
But even then, it doesn't matter whether you can debate them on that. We don't have the political power to do anything.
What Republican out there can you have that is going to listen to you about it? They're just going to shut down the conversation.
No, but again, does it even matter? We can debate one or the other, one that, you know, pays lip service, or the other one's straight up, you know, upfront monster. When we as voters, you know, we don't have the power to actually make them do the things they say they're going to do.
That's what capitalism means.
And that's what jumping behind the Democrats means. A dead end. You know, pipe dream. And keep kicking that can.
I should be clear. I'm not voting Democrat. I'm simply saying... Right, I'm only just.
But there's no other logic behind yours, because you're saying why can't
what
you?
What other logic? I cannot say
because
it.
Because you can't do. Yes, you can, but you can't do both. You ask why can't you do both?
No, I want to vote for policies that if there are propositions,
but you won't get that
propositions.
You don't get the right to vote on policies. You vote on candidates, and you're going to
get. We can vote for candidates, but they're also
you're
going to
get capitalist ones,
and they betray
local.
You once they're in place.
Or they tell you straight to your face.
There are local propositions that you can vote for that.
Oh
that
my,
the people
Eduardo, you're moving.
You're
just changing the conversation now. You're going down to Prop I or Prop G somewhere in San Francisco, which you know has nothing to do with the scale of the problems we're talking about.
No, I understand.
Okay,
let's stay
here focused on actually
yes,
a global
I
issue
am.
That capitalism is destroying the environment, something we don't disagree with, but you don't understand that the Democratic Party is a pro-capitalist.
I said that already.
Well, then why are you telling us that there's anything there for us? There's nothing. Hold on. If you understand that they are just as committed to destroying the environment because they're pro-capitalist, they don't hate the environment. I'm sure they make nice lip service about it, but they have to be just as committed to destroying the environment because they're a big business pro-capitalist party.
I understand that.
So there's nothing there for us. They can tell us we can debate with them, but that's just fooling us. They're gaslighting us, thinking that they're listening. When the reality is, if this conference was held anywhere, they moved it from Chile because there's an uprising going on there. That's where that conference has to happen. It has to happen to be taken over by workers there, and all the companies have to be taken over by workers. That's what has to happen. All those capitalists have to be thrown out. So that's the only solution to this. And that's the one thing that's not on offer. And you don't, and by saying the Democrats.
I back all of the protesters that are marching in Madrid, that are marching here in the USA right now because of the COP25 in solidarity, and the people who are taking over, occupying parts of the conference at the COP25. Those are the people I back. And I think sometimes when we talk about this, you tend to, and I apologize, and I feel like even, I don't want to get the wrong read here, but I want to make sure that I'm not reading this wrong, but I feel as, ¿cómo se catalogan? Like you
categorize,
thank you. You categorize them in under the Democratic wing. And I have a sense that you do that. Is this my read?
Certainly in the United States, yes. The people who I'm paying attention to, who are following this, who are advocates of the Green New Deal, who are saying that who are very critical of the fact that Trump got out of these. They're basically, oh my God, look what Trump has done. He's gotten out of this conference. There's no solution to be found in this conference. Yeah. So whether he's there or whether you get some Democrat to tell you, oh, I'm going there. They did that in 2017. Basically, what was it? COP17 was the one where they really amped up the cap and trade stuff under a Democrat, and under
honestly,
Obama.
To me, like even like when Trump pulled out of the Paris Agreement, it becomes about personality politics, because in reality that agreement wasn't doing anything. It wasn't a solution.
It was help. It's another pro-West, pro-imperialist.
Sure.
Economic grab for the big power countries. In fact, one of the things that the left was trying to do is get the African nations to stand up to them, and they tried to, but they got fucking blasted. So the left started saying, "We need the U.S. out. The U.S. has to go away, and Europe has to impose a solution on the United States." Well, now the U.S. is out, and good luck imposing a solution. That's not how capitalism works. These are competitive countries. They all hate each other. Ultimately, Britain is not a friend of the United States. Germany is not a friend of the United States. All of these are deeply at war with one another. The only thing they are united in is a deep hatred of the working class in their respective countries, and not ever letting those people believe that they can run their own world on their own interests.
Yeah.
And anyone who says that the Democrat is going to help us get there is an enemy of the working class, because they're basically fooling the working class into believing there's a partial solution or even a momentary hedge against this. Let's be clear. The first moment there's another economic crisis, even let alone a war, all this shit goes away. When everyone suddenly is like, oh my God, there's no profits immediate in China, there's no profits immediate in the United States or France or Germany, you think they're going to be worried about any sort of cap or emission caps that aren't even, aren't even regulated in any way or aren't even enforced in any way? No. Capitalism doesn't give two shits about caps. It cares about one thing, profits. And that's the only thing they're turning this carbon thing
into. This is where we are in agreement, and yet it seems like you paint me as if I'm not in agreement with that.
You aren't, because you keep proposing. You think there's two ways to do this. You think we can go halfway with the Democrats and then we'll veer up at the end. It doesn't work that way. This is how we've landed ourselves in this situation.
I believe in buffers.
I know, but this is how we've landed in the situation that brought us Donald Trump, is continuing to go halfway with the Democrats, thinking that it's a buffer from fascism, a buffer from of racism, a buffer from war, when it doesn't operate that way.
We have to wrap up soon.
It also becomes the debate of, or the conversation about, change from the top, change from the bottom. Mm-hmm. Because, here we have these messiahs that come and they're going to tell us how to change, or they promise to change the world. But ultimately, to me, boils down for us to having the political power, capacity to change things. If my company doesn't want to change their ways, we'll fucking strike, because it's affecting us. If we got to change our ways, but try to tell a company that's run by some capitalists, they'll just fire you. So it becomes about us, the working class, getting political power and able to affect and solve all the wrongs that we're trying to solve that are connected.
And laying hold of something that's a standard Marxist thing, of the means of production.
Yes.
That is, laying hold of the tools and using them for our own interests, not in the interest of profit. There's only one way to do that. There's no road through the Democratic Party, no temporary road. In fact, the Democratic Party is a capitalist trick to make sure that never happens. And it's worked magically in the United States. And it's working in Britain too. You can see with even Corbyn, he's out, right? And now we're going to see a far right rise, in relation to this. And it's going to mean another amping up of, the right wing in Europe being strengthened, because the left continues to lie to the working class about what really is going to make a solution. And anytime we try to present Ocasio-Cortez or Green New Deal or Bernie Sanders or Democrat anything to the working class as even a stopgap measure, we are lying to ourselves and we're lying to the class that needs to make this revolution.
All right, let's take a break here. Let's take a break. We'll come back to what's left. We just took a short break. We should do breaks in the episodes. I like that. And put music in between. People like that. Did you know podcasts really do that?
I didn't know that.
Counterpunch.
Yeah. They do music in between, like 30-second music.
I think whatever can make this episode, this podcast, more like Democracy Now! Or KPFA can only improve it. I'm sincere in saying that. Can you not tell from my voice?
All right. Let's continue. It gives us to... Un momento para respirar, for breathing, for relaxation. All right. Because otherwise the things escalate here.
Yeah.
Well, all right. So I was saying earlier that who I back are not the Democrats. I back I back and give credit to the people behind the movement, the indigenous people that are at COP25 and who are here as well, and that are delivering the message about destroying sacred lands. And I back the youth, because the youth and this generation are really starting to wake up, and they're starting to see that their future isn't looking very optimistic. It's not very optimistic to look. It's looking quite bleak unless you have money. And this country, this world should be really for all of us. And I think that that's what they're really pointing to. It's that this generation is really getting a chance to speak up before it's too late. Whether we think it's through carbon emissions or, you know, whatever we are doing to this planet, we are doing something, and we're doing it in a way that is destroying the planet. So the youth are waking up to this, and they're being aware of this. And they really do have a voice. And one of those who is not a Democrat, and I want to give some credit to, is Greta, right? Who we haven't even discussed it on this show. And I know you know. So I don't know if you want to give any thought on what I just mentioned. On the youth, indigenous people... people are really families that are concerned for their kids.
I see value in this and what we're doing right now and talking and fleshing out these ideas, you know, and beliefs, and I think it needs to happen, you know. Like I feel that is my current role, you know, in whatever is happening. I'm trying to dig the past, trying to dig the ideas out, because I, like I've said in the last episode, I think we've been robbed of, you know, understanding and misguided. And the youth are revolting, obviously, you know, people are revolting. It doesn't mean it'll end in something better, you know, especially if we don't have the ideas, the understanding of what's happening. And again, and I do not endorse, you know, talking down to people. Like I was there, I was that liberal Democrat. I went to Obama's inauguration. You know, but I've learned my lessons, you know, we'll talk more about that.
And I voted for Bernie Sanders, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I voted for Obama 2 times. I was in college and, you know, but it requires us being honest, you know, in answering those tough questions. You know, one thing that sticks with me is like, if you want inspiration, then go watch ESPN or Disney, you know. But the reality is that these are tough questions, and I do believe in democracy and the consciousness of the people, like, you know, that we are able to. People know, and sometimes I think we keep at this looking at these saviors, and they get the platform, you know, to speak. But in reality, like, if you speak to my mother, she knows what's up. Mm-hmm. My grandpa knew what was up, you know, about the environment and things. Mm-hmm. And you know, working people know. But obviously, if you are, you know, under the water or just treading water, what time do you have to engage? Mm-hmm. So again, the transformation of all these wrongs starts in that fundamental place, the workplace, how you make a living, how you sustain your life, you know. I'm not for solutions that, you know, these policies will tell you, will criminalize that, will bash you for that, will shame you for
that.
I'm
not interested in that either.
I believe in the transformation. If say parents are able to, you know, get better worker conditions, they'll get more involved in their kids' education. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll get more involved in their community, and it grows. And that's a Marxist idea of, you know, the superstructure taking shape from that fundamental revolution. Mm-hmm. You know, the flip of power to the people. you know, and people having the ability to transform society. Mm-hmm. And so I don't buy, you know, good, courageous, great, but that's not a solution.
But what is not the solution?
Greta Thunberg, you know, it's good headlines, you know,
but... She's not a solution.
No, I mean, she's not going that far.
She's definitely not.
I don't think
that she is saying that she is the solution. I think
she doesn't even talk about the solution.
Yeah.
Huh? She doesn't talk about the solution.
She tells us
to look at the science.
No, but the solution is working class revolution.
But again, I think people know you don't have to be able to read a scientific paper to know that the world is changing.
And those are Democratic Party talking points.
But
that's an important point, is that just like you did on this episode, is you don't think of yourself as promoting the Democratic Party on this episode, but you are. And that's the same thing Greta's doing.
So,
yeah. Yeah, that's what you're doing. But when Greta does that, she doesn't have to say Democrats. It's a whistle for people to say, well, the Republicans don't accept this science. I accept the science. These Democrats accept the science. There's some, and if you get a better Democrat, you'll get a better science.
I think we have to be careful.
But let me be clear.
I don't want to
let
on what's
be
left.
Clear.
I'm going to be one of the voices that we don't mischaracterize people.
No, I'm
because that's not.
Characterizing her as not the solution and having no idea what the solution is, because there's only one thing she should say, which is get that conference back to Chile, because the workers have to take over their factories, take over that conference, and that's the only solution to be had here. When Greta says that, then we got something to talk about.
Yeah.
But she's not saying that.
She's not interested in being a political pawn for anyone.
But she is.
There have been many people who have wanted her to endorse them. And she, yes, there have been. And she has decided not to. There's so many organizations that have asked her, can you support this environmental organization?
She's
can
Time Person
and she
of
is
the
is
Year.
Not, yes. But
who do you think Time supports?
Yeah,
the Democratic
she did
Party.
Not, she did not ask for that. If they've nominated
but
you, they put
use
you on
her
the cover.
Anyway.
That is not what she has
then
asked for.
Then you have
for.
To insulate yourself.
She doesn't back it. She just. Then she even has said, I'm done with these awards. I'm done being nominated for things.
Then she has
and
to start
that's
talking.
That's not the solution.
She has
so, so I don't know what Time has to anything to do with it. You see, you're bringing it up like it's something valuable.
Because
it's not.
Whether or not she wants to be used, she is going to be used. I don't
well,
I can't speak.
But
I
mean, if that's like we are being used for anything,
no,
we could be used for anything, but that's out of our control. That
isn't out of our control. I'm speaking about one thing.
If that, work, that
wait,
people decide to
how
put
do
her on the cover of Time magazine, she has control over that. People can decide to do that and they would put her.
Right.
That's outside of
I'm not
of
saying
her
she
control.
Can decide
right,
I'm just saying she's going
to
be used.
I don't see how that's valuable to this discussion when you say that because it's obstruction.
Because
it's
you say
energy.
That she has something to do with a solution
no,
and she doesn't.
She, I said, here's what I said. I said that she has never said what is this? She said to look at the science, and she's speaking out about it. She's simply saying the house is on fire. She's not saying how we're going to shut down this, because she doesn't think she's qualified to say how we should bring down the house from being
But I see a problem here, like this, what you guys are doing both. You know, we end up talking about these heads, whether they're good or bad, when in reality we should be talking about how the fuck are we going to conquer political power at the base. And when I hear that from her and from the people at these conferences, you know, saying that, guess what, you know, this is not going to achieve anything. Change, transformation will come from the base.
I think it's important to discuss her because she has been, she's not a politician. She does not, she's a student. She comes from Sweden that just decided to do something about the climate crisis, and she is a representation of so many youth that if you look now on YouTube, there are like hundreds of Gretas who are not Greta, and they're speaking up. They're like, this matters to me. You have 10-year-olds, you have 9-year-olds, people who have went to the Democrats like Dianne Feinstein's office, 9-year-olds
sure,
and saying, you're not listening to us as the youth. And we want more radical solutions than what you're doing, and you're not working for us.
And
people that are standing up, the youth, I think we have to pay attention
sure,
to that
I agree.
Generation.
And
so that's why I'm just saying that she is important. And she is done with the awards. She is done with being told that she is. And she has even decided to now let other youth speak before her. When they start focusing on her, she says, I'm done speaking. How about them? Let them speak. People from Uganda, the youth, people from Argentina, at the UN, she said, I'll give up my platform for them. So I'm just saying that is why she's important, because she's not backing any political party. She's not backing any, endorsing any candidate. And she has rejected to endorse other organizations. So I don't like this mischaracterization, the way you're painting her.
No, it's not her fault. You know, she is obviously trying to do what she thinks is best. She's no doubt there is many well-meaning people, You know, right. No doubt there is well-meaning people that think that Democratic Party will lead to something better.
I think what Andy wants her to say is just claim that she's a socialist.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I know, yeah. And I think she's very careful about not saying
why not? Because she knows that capitalism's the problem, so why doesn't she call herself a socialist? If it, like, why is she getting up in front of people and saying, this is the problem? She goes in front of them and yells at them and is like saying, look at how you people have lied to us and cheated. Clearly, she doesn't get what they're really there to do. They're there to lie to you. That's what they're there to do. Okay? Oh, good.
She's not said it like that, but she has criticized economic policies.
But yeah. At this point, it's clear it's about capitalism, so why not be a socialist? Why not basically say, we got to get rid of this system. Workers are going to have to take over. Why not?
I cannot speak for her. I don't know why she's not.
I'm just saying that if she's not going to speak to a problem without a solution.
And she, you know, if someone is developing their political journey, just like we have,
sure.
As well,
you have to be critical of why she's being pushed forward.
You know, who? She's not being pushed forward by anyone.
How did she get access there?
Access where?
To these conferences.
Yes, and you Time Magazine.
How come there are other key activists in this country. Why is she being pushed forward?
Because she's the one who just went with her father. You can go to the COP conference. You can go and apply and try to get in. You can get tickets.
Okay,
anyone can go, except not everyone is allowed if there's a capacity. But people have decided to do an alternative conference outside of it and bashing the COP conference. But I will say that she only became popular because of her own strike. Remember, back in Sweden, against the parliament. So it's not like she was given access because she had connections.
That's not a strike.
She did not have inside connections. She had her strike, and it gained popularity by a local news, and then slowly it built up in the country, and then slowly they invited her. People within the cup, they said, oh, you know what? We heard about you. So it's not like she had these kind of...
But again,
let's not mischaracterize.
But again, for me... Ultimately, I don't care those voices that are being pushed, you know, ahead. I care about what's happening on the ground. You know, how we're going to transform this.
She is on the ground. She's the one leading lots of movements. Every city
those
that she
went demonstrations.
To. And those
are what do demonstrations get us?
Movements are not also demonstrations.
They are strike is change. A strike is conquering of power.
Yeah.
The ability to strike. That's what we need to be talking about. Not who's going to tell us again what we already know.
And well, I don't Eduardo, well the other thing to know is, look, there's a reason why we've been seeing her name all in the mainstream media. I'm not saying she's behind it, but there's a reason. There's a fight going on in this country over Trump, right? And his direction he wants to take the country, and what amounts to the CIA and the Democratic Party using this Ukraine thing, whatever, to try to take it back. Those same forces, the mainstream media forces, which are propping up the Democrats as a half solution to the left as something for us, are the same ones pushing her forward to us. That's the reason we're hearing about her.
Well, then that's
I'm not saying she's to blame.
That's the mainstream
but
media.
But that's what's going on.
You want to talk about mainstream media, we can, but we're talking about her as an individual.
Oh my gosh.
Right.
Okay, but she is a political figure now, and that's who she's being used. Whether she's a small kid or not, she is now a political figure. And so I'm not saying I'm against her. I'm just saying I don't... She's not talking about a solution. If you're talking about a problem and telling people to solve a problem and you're not prepared to propose a solution, then you're not serious. And so I don't accept the fact that a child can say, oh, this is the problem, but I don't have a solution, so whatever. That's not even what she's saying. She thinks she does have a solution. She thinks it has to do with lowering carbon emissions.
Yeah.
She thinks she has to do with something that's going to be
carbon
related.
She does not talk about lowering. She talks about zero.
Oh, but you have to lower then to get to zero.
She doesn't want lowering. She wants, like, changes now.
Well,
like
then you better talk about how that's going to happen, because I agree with her. But you better, if you don't talk about the working class is central to doing that, then you have no solution.
I also want to say that she has said that it's not up to her to find the solution. She said it's up to the rest of us, really. She's just pointing at something that we have all been ignoring, which is the climate crisis. And I think that that's something we haven't been looking at.
Who is
right?
we?
We, all of us, every one of us that live our life, we need to start looking at it, like doing something about it, and not just acknowledge
what number COP is this?
25.
That's because it's been being acknowledged the last 30 years and been given false solutions
the data has pointed out how there is a rise in movements since.
Yes, and in fact,
thanks to people like Greta, like Naomi Klein, like good independent journalists, there is a rise in movement because people do point that there is a problem.
And guess what policies were put in play to try to deal with that? all these cap and trade things, and they're coming again.
And that's false. That's not false. That's wrong. I'm saying that's wrong. But, you're right. I agree with
but
that.
But that's what's on offer. That's the only thing they can offer.
And that's why we, the people, have to push for not that, but something more radical.
So how do we push that?
How do we push that?
Huh?
How?
Well, I agree that I am an anti-capitalist, and that's why I'm saying we're having...
But we can beg.
Go ahead, say some more. Let's hear it. Huh? I already said it's going to be...
organize, right?
No. How are we going to solve this?
What do you mean?
What kind of organization? To do what? Organize to do what?
To go beg... A revolutionary change against this capitalist system.
Organized by who?
Huh?
By who?
The working class has to.
Well, then that's what I'm going to hear Greta say. It's obvious to you, it should be obvious to her.
Huh?
If it's obvious to you, it should be obvious to her.
She keeps pointing to the working class.
Oh my gosh.
She may not use the terms that you want, Andy.
Why not?
But she constantly points to what she says, real change comes from the people on the streets, she's saying.
Sure, but listen.
She has said that.
And this is my
problem.
She
continuously says that.
But
she
says
it's not the politicians that are going to help us. I feel like you're still mischaracterizing.
No, you have a misunderstanding of what she's doing there, but either way.
That's what she said. That's not a misunderstanding of anything.
We're going in a loop here.
Yes.
But, you know, ultimately, I have a problem with people that have these platforms. And they dance around naming everything but not saying capitalism. Naming everything but not saying socialism.
Sorry. We don't have time for this. We don't have time to play dancing games. If she's so concerned about the environment, she's got to put her shit on the line and say the working class is the way we're going to do this. And it ain't going to happen from demonstrations. It's going to happen from what's going on in Chile or France, but even bigger.
For me, it requires...
I don't buy this. I don't buy that, at least what you're saying, Andy, I have to still get clear about Kenny, but I don't buy that we have to have people say these specific words.
Yes.
You to think that they are on our side. And that's where I think that this revolutionary movement, and I want my viewers and listeners to understand this, you will never be able to get this revolution going because you are so specific. You are so specific about what you want.
Yes.
And that's the problem. Because if you're so specific that way, you're in the minority.
What is your specific?
And the rest of us that are trying, and not myself, I will say that the people, and this is why I'm trying to have, the people who are trying to transition, understanding things, I think these things are not, if you go to any village or any place, you cannot just say to people, these are the specific things I want you to come out of your mouth.
No.
You have to really show them and tell them, you know what, you're being screwed here, and here's how we're going to work together.
And that's where I think... That's where I have a problem. I think that is a little bit of that thing that I was telling you, that is a little talking down to people as if people don't understand. You know, like I've talked to other people that, you know...
That is not talking down. Yeah, people really do feel as if they're powerless. You know this.
Sure.
Why do people don't stand up to the government?
But you're saying that you're making them understand. That's what you said.
Let's understand what I'm trying to say then.
Okay.
Because I'm not saying that I'm talking down to people and educating as if they don't know anything. I'm talking about empowering people.
I want to be very clear.
Yeah.
That's why I am open about me being a socialist.
About talk down to people.
That's what me being... It's about me being a socialist and saying it openly. And this is why. Because this is what I think. If people want to engage, hopefully they want to engage. That's the idea.
Yep.
Otherwise, if we keep dancing around
the majority of people are distracted by life. You know
that. I know that.
They're distracted
by
life.
I know that.
By consumerism, constant
bombardment. Sure, coping mechanisms.
Right? By dealing with their lives and it's like they're still there to get them to a place to feel empowered. We really have to be able to speak in a way that is
I agree.
Como say to
you make it. You have to make it accessible.
Exactly.
I definitely agree. I've talked to you about this, Lipson, about you know
exactly. Thank you.
You know, having some of these things trapped in academia. You know, and so finding that balance of. You know, communicate or having people engage in this and, you know, into at least learning, you know, the ideas behind all this, you know, because some of this stuff can be a little thick.
That's what I meant when I said that, but
that's different, you know, but let's talk socialism openly.
I'm just clarifying what I meant.
But that's my thing. Let's talk socialism openly.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we'll keep dancing around.
But you know that even the word socialism is charged.
But that's why you correct that.
People think of Fidel Castro, and they immediately, no quiero eso.
But then if you're afraid of that, fuck Fidel Castro.
All I'm just trying to say is what goes on in people's
minds. I get it.
If you put your finger on the pulse, you understand.
But you gain nothing. But you gain nothing by hiding yourself.
Yes. And Eduardo's not hiding, though. Because
I am not about hiding.
No, you aren't. I agree
with you. I'm about transitioning.
And I agree with you.
About transitioning. people.
I think you said it very clearly when you said words like socialism, words like revolution, words like working class are charged and are not words that workers will ever accept.
I did not say ever accept. Well, but I know that they're charged.
No, and so that is a perfect encapsulation of why you are going to continue to tilt towards people like the Democratic Party or these other solutions, whether you think you're voting for them or not, because you don't believe it's possible for workers to ever come to an understanding that they run society. That's why you use a term like working class, because it speaks specifically to the idea that the working class has its own interests, and that's what unites us. That's why we don't need identity politics.
I'm not for it.
Well, I understand your ostensible critique of identity politics, but if you don't understand that a term like the working class and people accepting ourselves as the class and recognizing that we are the only class capable of making this change, then it's not going to be about indigenous folks. It's not going to be about children. It's going to be about workers.
But I was here's the deal. A specific community.
No, I'm just saying. Yeah. Look, if you want to change this problem now, then you better look at GM. You want to change this problem now, you better look at the oil workers in France and United States, wherever. That's where the solution's to be had now. That's the only place. It is not. The children are not our future. Workers are our future. And children don't have jobs. All right? I'm just saying.
And there will be workers.
When they become workers, then they will be able to possibly do that.
They have the tool.
But I mean, more likely than not, they're going to unfortunately...
I feel that was a little condescending.
No, it's not condescending. It's just reality. You're not going to change this world through children. I'm just telling you. We're not having a revolution by children. It has to be the working class. And you have to get your head around that. Because...
A lot of children actually do work, I will say. We're thinking about the entire globe here, right?
I understand. But when we speak to the people who are being spoken to by Greta, who she's reaching out to, she's talking about people in high school and in elementary schools.
Everyone.
Oh, come on. Anyway, I don't think there's people in little kids in Afghanistan who do have jobs, all right? Mm-hmm. But they're often farmers, right? Which is, again, a different thing than working class. We're going to have to learn those sorts of things. It is the working class in the industrial centers of the major countries, which is the only thing capable of making a revolution possible to take on this environmental crisis. Now, is the crisis only one through carbon? I don't believe it is. I don't think carbon, I'm not even sure carbon features majorly in the kind of crises capitalism is putting on the planet in terms of U.S. carbon production. I don't know if that's the major thing that's actually we're facing. I think there's, in terms of the biodiversity, in terms of how land is being reused, what we're doing to water, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Fracking, okay, how we pump our energy into us. Those things concern me probably more. But at the end of the day, the way we're going to destroy the environment is through war. Because that's what's coming. And the Democratic Party is hurtling us towards such a conflict. So I think you spoke very eloquently here. Because it is clear that the things that I'm saying, which I say are solutions, and the only solution, there's not other solutions, are the very things that you would say, we can't say that. People don't get that. Those are not words people are going to hear. Well, I'm sorry. Those are the words you're going to have to hear if you want a solution.
What I mean by that is, and I've had this conversation with Kenny outside of this, I mean that we need to present these topics in an accessible way. And that's what I mean when I say, for example, when you say the word working class, it's not understood widely what the Marxist term specifically is. This. I had even had this conversation with Jake, and Jake... another guest from here and who is my friend and Kenny, who I had this conversation with, confused the working class with, because he said that Elon Musk is working class because he's like, oh, he works, right? I think even that, you see, it's a very specific word that Marx had to, and even when you say farmers, many of our viewers and listeners will be like, well, that's part of the working class. Just said rights and they're not.
They're not.
So that confuses people, and that is what I'm trying to say when I say...
We can clarify that, but that will take some doing.
But I want to clarify now about something about what you said about me. It's not that I'm trying to hide. I'm trying to make these things accessible. And by making it accessible, I don't present the words up front. I present the issues that they are dealing with individually and their communities, and eventually, what you're doing is making it accessible.
You're absolutely obscuring. You're obscuring the problem and obscuring the solution. That's what you're doing. That's not making it accessible. You're just obscuring. You're throwing sand in people's eyes.
No, that's what you're doing.
No. You're talking about the Democratic Party.
And I think we have to be careful because our
approach may be different.
No, we disagree. You're a reformist. No, I'm a revolutionary.
Like, you think that your form, Andy, is my way or the highway, I've noticed. And you know what? I think that we can accept different ways to go up the mountain. That's all I'm trying
to
say.
We disagree.
But I mean, I don't know.
Trying to get the same message. Maybe my message might be a longer route, but get more muchedumbre. ¿Cómo se dice muchedumbre? Mass. Up the route that I'm trying to.
But the route that
you're taking is a sort of. A very specific and very narrow, you know, and that's where I fear you might be losing people. Because if it's that specific and that narrow, you're not really going to pump up a revolution. And that's my fear with this. And that's where I'm for the workers, and I want to make sure that we sort of shift them and veer them into this is actually more empowering, and this is actually going to have you live a better life than if you're just asking for crumbs here. But in order to get people there, really, we have to shift the conversation. And it takes a long time for people to really shift the understanding. Look at how long we've taken with climate change, and it has been talked for a long time. And it isn't through, it's through conversations and conversations and bringing it up and bringing it up and bringing it up that we're finally having people, as I learned through Gemma, woke people, right? And I'm not sure if I'm using this terminology correctly, because I'm not sure about the word woke, but people who are aware, as I would say, right? That people are now conscious that there is, we're in a dire situation, but it's taken so much of the conversation because people are repressed through the media, the mainstream media, and other talking points that are distractions.
I already said what I'm going to say. Yeah. You want to add anything?
No, I mean, I don't agree.
Now, where do you stand, Kenny?
No, I don't agree that, you know, we should, you know, hide these things, and we should.
Did I say hide them?
Well, you're saying, you know, circle around.
Es que yo no dije hiding, Kenny.
You're not being upfront.
¿Cuándo dije esconder? Este, todo este tiempo que estábamos hablando de este, en este episodio, okay. ¿Cuándo he dicho esconder? ¿Cuándo? O sea, okay. Él me pinta las palabras así.
But that's why I'm understanding. So I'm communicating what I'm hearing from what you're saying.
That's why I keep repeating for our public. I'm not saying hi. I have to keep repeating because if you're understanding, that's a good reason for me to be redundant here.
But to me, I've seen, like, in my circle, that being upfront works. And the people that are curious will ask. You know, and I'll try to do my best. And ultimately, I also make them understand.
Pero no estás de acuerdo que debemos de presentar la información también de una forma accesible.
Yes, yes, of course. But then there's another aspect. We cannot get around the issue that you need to read on your own and come to your conclusions. Don't let me tell you. Mm-hmm. Because we have the same bullshit then. Don't let me tell you. Go read. Let's have these conversations.
I ain't no way around it. And I don't even understand some of the stuff you said.
All right. I think, there is one more point I think Kenny wanted to bring up before. You're elitist.
I think we covered that. I personally have had a transformation, you know, save water, save straws, you know, of course, you know, like we don't want to live in a dirty environment and things. But I mean, it's going to bring me back to Trump in this sense that, you know, try telling, you said, people that are swimming, you know, treading water. Try telling poor people, don't fucking use straws. Don't use more packages. Don't throw them on the street. You know, when they're trying to survive and this is the only available thing. Mm-hmm. The capitalism does because, you know, like in Latin America, Procter & Gamble, Nestle, you know, they go and they sell smaller packages to people and they extract more money from them. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the only way they can afford to live. You know, so ultimately, for them to transform their lives, mm-hmm. it's in their hands. It has to be. You know, obviously, you know, it's in our hands here. You know, like I believe that, again, like I mentioned that, you know, a hypothetical mother or family, that, you know, if they're able to get better working conditions, they're going to advocate, they're going to have more time to spend at school. They're going to have more time to go, you know, and involve politically. So it starts from there, you know, and how do we get there? Obviously, it's questions because things have to get better. Again, if you're just treading water, you know, so maybe there is, like, you know, on your side where you say there are policies. How do we implement them? But we have to be open about them. We cannot pretend. We can say this is not enough. This is not enough. We need to continue the road and march openly, not hiding and circumventing things and hoping that we can pop out on the road, you know. And so we have to march with our eyes set on that, the conquering of political power.
And I don't think any person, the working class, should be penalized. I think should go against the corporates. They're the ones. I think the ones that are the CEOs and the wealthy class.
Except when you tax their sugar. And you tell them you can't have vaping.
And did you want
and he
to
wants take your guns away from you?
And did you want
the guns you're going to need to take down the rep?
Do you want
government.
To make this episode 3 hours?
sorry. I said I was going to shut up. Apparently, I couldn't do it.
God, can we edit
all right,
this out?
Thank you.
We're going to get 3 hour conversation here.
Yeah, but I mean
that we will check out now that you mentioned that. Check out that we're going to link some of those episodes
yes,
that you mentioned and why
yeah.
you said that. I think it's important as well. But I am in agreement. I ride my bike. I carpool, I do my best, and I know that those are still not the solutions. I know that individually, it's going to take a lot more of us individually, but it should really fall into the capitalist class that is using up the resources and selling us and really creating and fomenting.
Yeah.
Perpetuating. The consumer culture. I understand that.
I mean, the reality we have limited. We don't have choice, really. You know, we have what is given to us, but we are sold this idea that we can punish these corporations. With our dollar.
That's why, like the austerity measures, or in Chile and other parts in Latin America, or even just happening with the Yellow Vest movement. Which I will be bringing some reportage
yes.
from there when I am in France. But the Yellow Vest movement was ignited because of the rise in the gas prices, and that is not the solution. So I understand that that sometimes environmentalists will conflate it as the individual the solution is with the individuals. But really, we have to look at the greater picture, because the polluters are not the working class. It's the polluters are the ones that are creating the dams, or the ones that are the corporations. I do agree with you.
The polluters are the ones who are creating poverty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
We agree. Look, we came to agreement at the end.
Happy, happy, happy.
We could be friends again.
All right. Let's wrap up.
So next week we'll probably be Kenny and I. We're gonna maybe talk about your ideas about socialism. You said you wanted some questions for me.
Sure. Yeah.
I think it's a good time to talk about your journey. You know, how you got to where you got to, and we won't be bothered by Eduardo then.
God, it's exhausting. Just
but he will
no,
be...
no. But honestly, I appreciate it. Yeah. Honestly, it takes courage. You are honest. You know, you believe this, and we. I also believe this. You know, and it's about this. You know, it's about being willing to stand corrected. You know, like I'm still learning. You know, I don't know everything. I don't know the nuts and bolts, and I don't think I should be the only one saying this. We will all come up with that, but the fundamentals. That's what we had to understand. You know, because they're there.
Yes. So. This will be ongoing. I think we will have this ongoing conversation.
And even though me and Kenny will do maybe next week's episode in 2 weeks, you'll be a foreign correspondent in Spain.
Underground.
Yes.
Wear a helmet.
So I will be gone for I will be gone for a month, and I will be keeping base. I'll be in France and in Spain. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So let's
thank you, Kenny.
Conclude.
Thank you,
Eduardo. Both of you for attacking me. Now, viewers and listeners, go on and sick then.
Congratulations, woman of the person of the year, Greta, whatever.
Greta.
Congratulations.
We need to discuss payment. I don't do this for free.
All right. Check us out on any of our 5 platforms on BitChute, Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes Podcast, and YouTube. Please subscribe, rate, review, and best of all, share with your community, family, and friends. And we'll check you out next. Well, they will check you out next episode. Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you. Ciao.
Bye.
Nice.
I'm actually learning about
just
you.
To give you an idea, I did call Bernie Sanders a bootlicker today.
Yes. All right, that's a good start for this episode.
My goodness.
This
is a little low, and I'm afraid that if
keep it as forward because it's the mic.
I understand. Oh, hold on, Andy. Don't worry.
I think we're okay.
There we go.
Yeah.